told my wife that I was going to preach on the first reading from Proverbs about wives. She's not here. Don't tell her I didn't. When we were little kids, me longer ago than you, how many times did we hear our parents say, "Just who do you think you are?" For me, it was probably a million times. Today I have a similar question. Who are you? Notice that I didn't ask what kind of work you do, and I didn't ask where you are from, or if you are from St. Louis, where you attended high school. You have to explain that to the kids from Kansas City. I didn't ask what's your favorite sport or what's your favorite activity. I just asked, who are you? Who is that person that looks back at you in the mirror every morning? I'll get back to that question in a little bit. In the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, there are three parables in a row. The 10 bridesmaids from last week, the talents from today, and the sheep and the goats next week. Essentially, the same phrase is used in each. After a long time. The bridegroom, the landowner, the judgment come after a long time. Perhaps this is Matthew's way of saying to us, our master may be delayed in his return, but he is coming back. In the second reading, we hear that certainty with a warning. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So in the meantime, what are we doing with the talent, the gift that God has entrusted to us? Let there be no mistake. God expects a return on his investment. We had better not simply bury that which has been given to us and return it when he finally comes. It's obvious that the star, or might even say the villain in today's gospel, is the story of the one talent man. The million-dollar question on the floor is, why? Why did he choose to do nothing with the talent that he was given? The gospel doesn't give us a whole lot of answers. We are left to speculate about some on our own. Was it due to the fear of failure? Was it because of the what-if game? Or was it just that one talent didn't make a whole lot of difference? Jesus tells us today, a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted his possessions to them, to each according to their ability. The man who received one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, back in the time of Jesus, burying one's money was the recommended way to protect it from theft. So why was the master so upset when he did that? In his book, Soul on Fire, Elie Wiesel invites us to think about using our talent in a different way than we ordinarily use them. He says that when we meet the Creator, he won't ask us, "How well did you use the talent I gave you to do great things for my people on earth?" Rather, we'll all be asked, "How well did you use your talent to become you?" If Jesus asks you and me right now, "How well are you using your talents to become what I made you to be?" What would our answer to him be? Consider this. A rose only becomes beautiful and blesses others when it opens and fully blooms. Its greatest tragedy is to stay in a tightly closed bud, never fulfilling its potential. Another question. What does the parable tell us about the master? He entrusts his servants with an unimaginable treasure. He exhibits amazing trust while he's away. When he learns how the first two have doubled their treasure, he says to them, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come share your master's joy." You know, he really is an extraordinary master. Trusting, welcoming, generous, compassionate. He gives his servants freedom to risk and to act. But isn't that what God does to us? Now a story on taking risk to become oneself, of not burying one's unique talents. Everybody knows that Steve Jobs was the founder of Apple Computer. He decided one day that John Sculley was the person that he needed most to help him to fulfill his dream. He wanted to build a completely different kind of computer company, one that would make personal computers available worldwide. There was only one small problem. Sculley was comfortably and safely entrenched as president of the PepsiCo Corporation. There, he had achieved everything a person could desire: power, prestige, public recognition, an enormous salary, and a secure future. He knew that he was safe and happy where he was. But, there's always a but, he disliked the competitive nature of the business, and worst of all, he was bored. So Steve Jobs at Apple sensed this and confronted his new friend with a very pointed question. "John, do you want a chance to change the world?" That question penetrated deep into Sculley's heart, mind, and soul. It changed the course of his life. Sculley then went on to Apple and helped it grow into one of the most successful companies in the world today. Sculley's life was changed because he accepted the risk and decided to invest all his talents into his new job. Was it a risk? You better believe it. But without the risk, there would be no reward. So, are we afraid to take a chance today? Are we willing to risk it for the biscuit? How about trusting your God, letting go, and letting God? Forget fear. Do God's will. Share your part of the good news of salvation. Become who you were meant to be, another Christ in your own way. Earlier, I asked the question, who are you? It's a really simple answer. I am one of God's many gifts to this world. And knowing that, do you want a chance to change the world? Go ahead, take the risk. Be a rose in full bloom. Use your talents for God's kingdom. When you do, at the end of your days, hear the Master say to you, "Welcome, good and faithful servant. Come, share your Master's joy."